From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Voters are hearing plenty about this dramatic presidential campaign season. Even locally, New Hanover County has its own mini drama underway with a very public rift in the Republican Party and a fierce primary battle for three seats on the Board of Commission. But the Connect NC bond has not enjoyed the same breadth of airtime. We'll take a look at why today. The Connect NC bond is a $2 billion general obligation bond that would fund infrastructure repairs and renovations for community colleges statewide, as well as campuses across the University of North Carolina system. The bond would also pay for water and sewer projects, parks, National Guard and agricultural projects, and the zoo. Governor Pat McCrory says North Carolina's population has grown by 2 million since the last bond was passed 15 years ago. No tax increase is necessary to finance the bonds, he says, now or in the future, given the state's strong revenue growth and ample debt service capacity. Today, we're going to take a closer look at how some of this money might be spent in the Cape Fear region if voters approve it, and we'll hear why some opponents characterize the claim that this would not require a tax increase as nothing more than a campaign promise. Later on this edition of Coastline, we'll talk with bond opponent Rick Catlin, state representative of District 20. But first, we'll meet Dr. Suzanne Adams, president of Brunswick Community College and a supporter of the Connect NC bond. Dr. Suzanne Adams, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm delighted to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a comment about the Connect NC bond, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org and find us on Twitter at @CoastlineHQR. Dr. Adams, if this bond is passed on March 15th, Brunswick Community College would receive about $2.85 million. And what would that money be used for?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that. We would indeed receive that those monies. And we have a very specific plan of use for it. It resonates with our Vision 2020 that we have had in place for the last 5 years. The most important aspect of the NC Connect bond for BCC would be the repurposing of a building for health sciences. We have a very strong nursing program, both PN and ADN. We're the number one PN program in North Carolina. And we feel like that needs to grow, but we need room to grow and to add the simulation labs. So just about 2 million of the NC Connect funds would go to that. Another 500,000 would go to upgrades in our biology labs, our chemistry labs, our anatomy and physiology labs. And the rest of the bond would most likely go into expanding our welding area to have those finer welding machines, a place for those welding machines to be housed so that we can actually get our students trained for the workforce.
You actually have something of a space crunch on your campus right now. You're sharing some of your facilities?
We are. Yes. Building C, I wish it had a name, but it doesn't. Building C is just about totally housed or houses our early college high school. And that is a STEM school of excellence. We have currently around 330 high school students, ages, freshmen to super seniors, and they will complete both their undergraduate degree at the community college as well as their high school diploma. But we gave up an entire building of what I would call general classroom space in order to allow that early college high school to on our campus, because we know that that's where early college high schools really resonate, the power of the site being right in the middle of the campus.
Did you submit a request to the state legislature for this money? How did they arrive at $2.85 million as the amount that BCC would receive if this $2 billion bond is passed?
It's based on three criteria. One certainly is the tier level of your county. Brunswick County is tier three, which puts us in the lower range, actually, in the amount of money that we'll receive from the bond.
Can you just sort of explain what the tier rating means?
Sure.
To people who aren't familiar with it?
It is actually how much tax revenue a county receives. And you have three tiers, one, two, and three. Three being the most, what we would call the wealthiest as far as tax revenues. Brunswick was not always a Tier 3 county, but because of a lot of the beach development and so forth, that has changed sort of the economic outlook for the county. A Tier 1 county and a Tier 2 county would not have those funds. It is, and this is a little bit off topic, but it is my understanding that looking at the tier system as one of the criteria, the intent of the NC Connect bond is to help those poorer counties and those community colleges in the poorer counties to support whether it's new construction or it's renovation and repairs, because the counties don't have the funding in order to support that. So that is the first criteria. The second criteria certainly is the age of the buildings, and BCC is the youngest community college. We were birthed, if you will, in 1979. We were the 58th community college out of 58. And our buildings are newer. And that, of course, put us in a category that we don't have the need for the renovations and repairs quite so much. And the third is the per square footage per FTE, student FTE. There is a formula that indicates whether or not we need the space. BCC is interesting because we have a large fitness and aquatic center that serves the community. We have a 1,500-seat auditorium that also serves the community. So that changes that notion of square footage a little bit, but it sort of puts us in the lower end of bond receipts. We are number 56 out of 58 in the amount of money. I believe Carteret is 58 and Haywood is 57.
We're talking with Dr. Suzanne Adams, president of Brunswick Community College, about Connect NC, a $2 billion bond referendum that it will be on the ballot this March 15th. After the break, we're going to talk with Representative Rick Catlin, who opposes the bond, and we'll find out why. But right now, Dr. Adams, so you've explained generally how this bond money would be used, and it sounds like you have that laid out very specifically. But since Brunswick County does have more resources than other counties, if the bond didn't pass for some reason, is there funding that you could get at the county level for this?
Well, our county commissioners are very good to us. It does resonate what the community college needs. However, we did go to the county and we did go to the taxpayers of Brunswick County in 2004, and we had a $30 million bond, which passed, and we are just completing the buildings from that $30 million bond. So I would be hesitant to ask for additional funds for these new needs, they're not really new needs, but these extra needs that we have that would resonate with our community. We're in a community that now the average age is 55 and older, so moving towards health care support makes sense. We are growing in the Leland area in more of the industries, even if they are some small industries. And, of course, that resonates with the welding. And the general classroom space, of course, helps relieve us from our early college high school. So those are things that were not necessarily needed or in place in 2004.
When did you first hear about this bond and what BCC stands to gain from it? Because as we've talked about just before the show started, we were talking off mic about the fact that anecdotally, people don't seem to know about this bond. People are just sort of playing catch up, and some are saying, I didn't even know it was on the March 15th ballot, much less what it's for. So when did you first hear about this?
I first heard about the notion of a bond last fall. It was part, really, of a presentation for 58 community college presidents. We have a president's association in North Carolina. And at that time, it was just the notion of a bond. And the governor's office did come to a meeting in Raleigh of the presidents. And they were asking us to articulate what our specific needs were, and if we were to prioritize those needs and a cost related to those needs, what would they be? So it's been since last fall that we have known that something was in the wind regarding a bond. That original bond that was articulated with us, we had much discussion because we felt like it was not enough to support the community college system. We've been through a bond in 2000 with statewide, and the community colleges did not receive the funds that we had hoped to receive, and we wanted to change that criteria.
That was the last statewide
it was.
General obligation bond issue.
It was for facilities, and it really was a lot focused on our educational institutions. I know I went back to see what BCC received with that bond, and it was $1.4 million at that time, and it was used for bundled renovations and repairs and for a building for the trades, or really a renovation to add to a building for the trades.
You are a member of an association of community college presidents.
Yes.
What does the association say about this bond?
They are in favor of this bond, especially when we went to the governor and said, we don't believe we were hearing enough support. We went to the General Assembly. They also heard our message, and they very strongly supported the community colleges by moving it from $200 million to $350 million in order to support the colleges more significantly, if you will. And we felt like that was a voice of confidence or a vote of confidence for the community college system. I think our General Assembly knows that if we look at the workforce for the last 10 years, 40% of our workforce went to a community college. You know, so we are the drivers of our economy many times in our workforce, especially in our area.
$350 million is what the state community college system would stand to gain if this $2 billion bond is passed.
That is true.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the Connect NC bond referendum on the March 15th ballot. With us today is Brunswick Community College President Dr. Suzanne Adams. When we come back, we'll talk with Representative Rick Catlin about why he plans to vote against the bond. If you have a question about the bond or would like to comment, give us a call 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about the $2 billion bond referendum on the March 15th primary ballot in North Carolina, also known as the Connect NC bond. In the last segment, we heard from Brunswick Community College President Dr. Suzanne Adams about why she supports this bond. With us now to explain why he opposes this general obligation issue of $2 billion is North Carolina Representative Rick Catlin of New Hanover County. Representative Catlin, welcome to Coastline.
Well, thank you, Rachel. It's nice to be here.
If you have a question or a comment about the Connect NC bond, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Representative Catlin, in this bond's first incarnation, it was presented as a pathway to funding transportation infrastructure. At this point, there is no funding for transportation in this $2 billion bond issue. Can you give us the backstory on how this started, how it evolved, and how it arrived at where it is now?
I'll tell you what I know.
Please.
First of all, it's very good for democracy to be able to vote for a bond, and I respect however people vote. It's just my job to let you know why I have concerns about it. But I understand both sides on that. I did work originally with the governor and the secretary of Department of Transportation on the greater than $1 billion transportation bond that we were working on. And that's where the name Connect North Carolina came from for the bond. And then as the conversations grew, there was a possible second bond for another $1 billion that was going to be for repair of government buildings and infrastructure. And it was going to give voters a chance to vote yes or no for either bond, which I thought was a good idea. And then, and so I was working with the research staff and the governor's staff and DOT staff on trying to make sure that the right roads got done, because I wanted to make sure our ports were stronger and that our part of the state got some help with our roads and also with the ports and rail, which is a big issue. It's because I think transportation infrastructure is a great return on investment for all citizens and for future generations. It is one of those things that you have to build, and you get benefits from it. And then I got the surprise version, and it was a surprise to me. Is what happened is it got presented to the House without most representatives having any input on it, and it was had $0 in transportation for infrastructure.
And what time frame are we talking about here, from the time that you were working on this transportation bond to this new version that had nothing?
Well, the new version came in around the last month of session, and but it was before session the previous year that I had met with the governor and Secretary Tata on those issues, and so it was quite a surprise. And the other thing is. In the surprise bond, the funding was not discussed in the budget. It's like Dr. Adams said, and I respect her position. She's trying to look after her community college, but there are extra needs, and they were not requested in the budget. They were not discussed in the budget, and it was surprising that they got put into the budget, into the bond. Excuse me.
How would a bond bill typically get drafted? I mean, it's interesting when we just look at the new Hanover County School bond that was passed at the end of 2014. That was a $160 million bond issue, I think. And at that time, the new Hanover County public school system laid out very specifically how the money would be spent, which schools would get repairs and renovations, what was going to be built. It was very specific. And in UNCW's case, with this $2 billion Connect NC bond, they stand to gain $66 million for a new Allied Health Human Sciences building completing UNCW's health quadrangle. So that's a very specific allocation.
Right.
Cape Fear Community College has adopted a resolution supporting this bond, but there are no specific plans as of yet for the money, and they stand to gain close to $6 million. Is that unusual?
It is unusual not to be very specific about what the money is supposed to be spent for, and it's unusual that bond money would be allocated for organizations or places that had not asked for any money. So it was much of a surprise to me, and it's still called Connect North Carolina, and it is not connecting North Carolina anymore. I am all for education funding, but it is something that should be done in the budget so that we can talk about specific needs and what's going to be used, what it's going to be used for.
And why do you think, as I was talking with Dr. Adams earlier, and this bond referendum seemed to sneak up on a lot of people. Anecdotally, we've found people who don't know that it's on the ballot. If they do know it's on the ballot, they don't really know what it's for. Why is that?
I don't know.
Why do we seem to be playing catch up in the media with this one?
I do not know. I mean, I told you I was working with the governor and transportation secretary early on with all of the details, and then was surprised by what came into the House. And it was done on the legislative side. So I do not know all of the details.
And why do you oppose the bond? Why are you voting against it?
It's important that we are... that we don't create debt. That give you one problem is I do think that we need to make sure that we are funding our education properly. These amounts of money that get handed out to all these organizations that might not actually need them right now might create a problem where future debt will make it where they get no more money. It might also create a problem where we're going to end up with the need for more roads and infrastructure and not have the money for that, and we might have tax increases. As a county commissioner, it was not a secret at all that when you put a bond out there and it got voted for, it was going to end up with a property tax increase because that's how it got paid for. There was not really a return on investment to the county.
This was the thinking when you served on the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners.
That's right. And so I did support for the community college, but I knew that we weren't going to get all that money back from the community college, but I knew that the taxpayers, if they voted for it, were basically saying, "Yeah, we support a tax increase," and that's one of the concerns on this one. if we did it for infrastructure, which is one of those things that you don't really have in a normal budget, then the return on investment, the economic development, is something that is a huge resource for the state of North Carolina. And to not have that in here and to still call it Connect North Carolina is wrong.
How much of what's proposed in this bond do you think should be part of a regular budget allocation process? It doesn't sound like you oppose what some of this money would fund. It sounds like you're opposed to the fact that it's part of a GO bond.
Well, there's 58 community colleges that are getting money. They may not all need them. There might be some that need it real bad and need more. There might be some that don't need it right now. That's what you look at in a budget. We have roads that need to be looked at. We have rails, and we have our beaches, our inlets, and our waterways, which are getting no funding. And our K through 12 schools got no funding in this, which is a real big issue, because I've been working and began the process on a pilot program for vocational pathway. It has been approved by the county commissioners and the school board.
This vocational technical high school that's planned to be part of the CFCC
and
campus.
And we are the pilot site for the whole state of North Carolina to do this right, to try to stop the 20% dropout, so that we've got that's one out of every five kids that don't make it through high school. So we need to do that. That didn't get funded in this. And also, if you look at the water and sewer part of it, it makes it sound like it was a big deal, but actually only a third of that is a grant. The rest of it are loans. So it makes it look like a big chunk of money going to water and sewer infrastructure, but most of it is loans with interest.
So then municipalities, counties would be borrowing from the state to fund their water and sewer projects?
If they're not one of the grants, one-third of it's grants. So that's not as good as it is made to sound.
And who would benefit from which water and sewer projects are we talking about?
I do not know. I don't know of any of them specifically.
Governor McCrory and the committee to support this bond has said very specifically, it's one of the bullet points on the postcards they sent out about this, that there will be no tax increase to pay for this bond. There was a budget surplus recently, $445 million. Is that right?
Something like that.
And the state has a AAA bond rating, so it's a very good time to borrow. Interest rates are low. But how is that possible? Critics of this bond say you can't say that you're going to go into debt to the tune of $2 billion and not eventually end up raising taxes.
It's just an opinion that it's not going to be a tax increase in the future. There's no guarantee. The interest rates could go way up. The price of fuel could continue to be lower, so we won't have the money that we need through our fuel tax for our roads for DOT improvements. We might need money there. Also, the money that we give these organizations, they probably won't get anything else for the next couple of decades because we won't have the money to do it. I think that the likelihood of being in debt an extra $2 billion is a concern for future tax increases.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Connect NC, the $2 billion bond referendum that is on North Carolina's primary ballot. Election day is March 15th. With us to answer your questions about this bond, Representative Rick Catlin of District 20, New Hanover County. He opposes the Connect NC bond. If you have a question or a comment about it, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Let us know if this is something that you know about, that you've researched, that you've talked about with your friends and people in your circles. Representative Catlin, can you talk a little bit about if this bond is passed, if it's approved by voters, how the money would, how the bonds would be issued? Would this come in a series of issues? Are we guaranteed a certain interest rate? How might that look?
We're not guaranteed a certain interest rate. It would depend on when we actually did that part of the bond. And there is flexibility in the bond that could come up in different sessions that might change things.
What kind of flexibility? What do you mean?
Well, Again, I don't know all of the details of that, but it is possible that the General Assembly could change slightly, you know, what they spend on what school or what they spend on what water and sewer or what they spend on different things, depending on what the issues are. So that's it's not a hard fixed bond like most bonds are.
So voters would be approving then $2 billion of debt for the state. That, as far as how that money is allocated, that could change. So voters are just approving the fund, not necessarily how it's used.
Generally speaking, yeah. Now, some of it's specifically in the bond, but there are some potential changes. Can I bring up one other issue?
Certainly.
Is the campaigning for this bond. When we chatted before, I didn't know about this, but I have an ethics concern about that. I found out that a million or maybe more than a million has been contributed from bond beneficiaries to promote the bond, to get people to vote for it. And just in my county, my local schools have donated, according to the Star News, $72,000 that should be tax money used for teachers and students. And so I had some concerns about whether it was okay to use tax dollars to campaign for voters to do something. And I checked with legal research, and one of their comments was that public resources should be used for public purpose. Tax resources should not be used to campaign to vote for a bond. But they said check with ethics. So I checked with the Ethics Commission, and they said it's not covered in the present Ethics Act, but it's under control of the Board of Elections. So I went to the Board of Elections, and they said, good question. Donations are not regulated. So on these types of things, the school could give as much as they wanted to. But they said, go back and ask legal research. So it was a big loop. There's not a clear answer. So I do have concerns that it's not ethical to use taxpayer money to try to get voters to vote for something. And one of the mailers that came out recently was that the bond would be used for North Carolina National Guard, which I strongly support the National Guard. And that was a big mailer that they're using that money for. But as it turns out, only 3.5% of that $2 billion goes to that, and it's only three counties, and it's Guilford, Burke, and Wilkes County. And so it's a real surprise that got put out in the mailer for a $2 billion bond.
It is interesting. Governor McCrory issued a press release yesterday talking about that very issue. And I think it was presented as a public safety issue. Is that not normally part of a regular budget allocation?
It should be. And this is a fairly small amount of money compared to the rest of the $2 billion.
That is the smallest allocation in the entire bond, I think. The National Guard gets the smallest piece, something like 4%.
It's the one that's being used in the campaign the most. So that's just politics, I guess, and trying to get people's attention. But it's just important that voters understand both sides of a bond. I respect those that vote for it. I respect those that vote against it. You asked me to give my opinion as to why I was going to vote no. I would like it to come back to the General Assembly with a no, so that in short session, we can fix this and make it a little bit better, and then put it in next November's election. So that'd be my plan.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Connect NC, the $2 billion bond referendum on North Carolina's primary ballot, March 15th. We have Representative Rick Catlin of District 20 with us today. If you have a question or a comment about the bond, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Ernest from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment.
Yes.
And a question to all the panelists and the host. I'm a native of North Carolina, went away with the military, moved back to another southern state, and that state saw a lot of bond issues. As time passed, many of these bond issues had to be repackaged, renegotiated. There was always a cost involved to these outside parties. And there was always talk of the affiliation between the brokerages and the various individuals that have more or less a finger in the pie, so to speak, and many of the programs that the bonds were meant for in infrastructure items always had cost overruns. And then there were a lot of associated leeches, so to speak, with these programs. A lot of people being paid to watch this money and verify what is being done. And so anyway, now that I am back in North Carolina and I hear this issue at $2 billion, my question is, what is the state of North Carolina going to do to ensure that this doesn't happen? You know, financiers are real quick to always find some type of program or way. We can streamline this. We can make it a bit cheaper, but it always will involve another group coming in, repackaging, realigning this, and some costs that siphon off the funds.
Okay.
And
well,
finally, I would just like to say that this is a large amount of money at one time. And when you start giving politicians large amounts of money to be spread all over the state, it just seems in 5 years, are we going to see $2 billion worth of improvement that has held up for the everyday citizen, or have a lot of people taken a little slice of the pie that in turn leaves us with half a pie?
Representative Callan, what kind of controls are in place to ensure that the money is spent the way voters expect it to be spent?
I agree with this gentleman. I don't think the controls are in place. And that's one of the reasons that I support a bond going for infrastructure, and to be very clear about what it goes for, because that does improve the life of and the economy for all citizens fairly, and not just a few here and there. And then in the budget issue, that's where we need to focus on our education.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about the $2 billion bond question on the March 15th ballot in North Carolina. Representative Rick Catlin is with us today. When we come back from the break, we will be rejoined by Brunswick Community College President Dr. Suzanne Adams. If you have a question, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today about the Connect NC bond, a $2 billion general obligation bond that would fund projects within the North Carolina University system, the 58 community colleges across the state, parks, the National Guard, agriculture, and the zoo. With us today, making her case in support of the bond, Brunswick Community College President Dr. Suzanne Adams, and here to explain why he doesn't support this debt issue is State Representative Rick Catlin. If you'd like to ask a question of either guest or make a comment, this segment is your last chance. Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Dr. Adams, one of the criticisms across the board among people who don't support this bond seems to be that, as Ernest from Wilmington just said, our last caller, there don't seem to be a lot of controls around how this money will be spent. And Representative Catlin has explained that reallocation is possible. Voters could approve this bond thinking they're approving $2.85 million for Brunswick Community College, and then that winds up getting reallocated and spent in a different way. So what would you say to people?
I have never heard that. For me, the bond has been very detailed, especially in the community college arena. The $350 million is expended down to the penny. As far as controls and a community college, the investment in the community colleges, I can say there are many controls that that really surround the facility building and monitoring of bond usage or bond fund usage for community colleges, not only state construction, but certainly the State Board of Community Colleges, who approves every building we build, all the renovations we make, as well as our state construction office and our community college system. So as far as we have a very detailed amount, We have to send in a report every year to say where we are on a project. And just to really look at that notion, I went back to the 2000 bond, and all of the reports, if you go online, you can Google 2000 NC Educational Facilities Bond, and you can get the report back and where all of the community colleges spent the money, how they spent the money, very specifically. And I feel that at least on the in the arena of community colleges, we feel secure that if the General Assembly says $350 million to community colleges, and we give them the projects we need to have performed on our campuses, then we're good. We believe we will receive $350, and we will expend those funds within 7 or 8 years.
Representative Callan.
If it's passed, I hope you get it.
Mm-hmm.
But let me read you something from the bill. It says, the Act permits modification of proceeds allocation among the projects set forth specifically in the Act or among agencies or projects not listed in the Act but listed in the six-year capital improvement plan development pursuant to GS-143C. I won't read that number to you. provided the aggregate amount of the allocation does not exceed the $2 billion of debt authorized. So it does say in here they can it can be changed.
And I'm sure that's a caveat, which anyone would need to have that caveat. But to have all of the advertisements out, all of the community colleges behind you, all of the universities behind you, and actually modify that document would be difficult.
And we did say this earlier in the show, UNCW would stand to gain $66 million, and that would be for a building, a new Allied Health Human Sciences building, completing UNCW's health quadrangle. The new facility will enable UNCW to address healthcare workforce needs in high-demand degree programs, expand online and extension programs, provide student support space, including dedicated space for UNCW's military-affiliated students, create additional opportunities for regional healthcare collaborations, and increase community engagement. It'll include technology-equipped classrooms, laboratories, faculty and student support space, and other infrastructure to empower 21st century health education. Representative Catlin, you talked about return on investment and how important that is. Does this not sound like a really good investment that would yield the kind of return and economic growth that you're looking for?
It does. And what's surprising to me is that it didn't come up in the budget discussion, and it got put into the bond without any conversation with most of us in the legislature. So I don't know where it came from, and I was surprised to hear it. So, again, the bond and our job as legislators is to do things in a thoughtful, factual way, and this was something that we did not know about. And so it's good to hear that, but I think it's something that should be in the budget. Or there could be local bonds, or there could be bonds that are specifically for the highest priorities. But right now we've got $2 billion out there that some of them are high priorities and some of them aren't. And right now, just listening to that, it sounds like a high one, but there might be an even higher one somewhere else. There might be a disaster somewhere else that needs to be taken care of first. So that information is just not available.
And I've heard another critic of this bond has said, we're talking about $350 million. This is a statewide question. And voters, for instance, in Brunswick and New Hanover and Pender and Columbus counties, people in southeastern North Carolina, have no idea what's happening on the other side of the state, what the needs are. They just know that they're voting for $2 billion based on what their local institutions might receive. Dr. Adams?
Certainly, advertisements have gone out. As far as with the community colleges, every community college is listed with the program or the plans for their the funding from the bond. So in the advertisements, it certainly has indicated that it's an investment in education and all of the areas in which that investment will take place. For instance, what you had just shared about UNC Wilmington, East Carolina has a huge STEM-related building moving with the bond. We have a lot of agriculture, our agricultural buildings and facilities that will be updated at NC State, and we're an agricultural state. I mean, North Carolina, if you want to invest in North Carolina, what are we going to do? Say, maybe this might happen. It could. I think we would be short-sighted to do that because as far as with North Carolina and community colleges, there's no way to get these large buildings unless you have a private bond, and these don't happen very often. In the poorer counties, that will not happen unless you get the support of the citizens of North Carolina and say, we believe in our community colleges, and we want to invest in our community colleges. It may not be in Eastern North Carolina, but we know that there are 80 different counties out there that are not Tier 3, the most wealthy, that need our help.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Connect NC, the $2 billion bond question that will be on the March 15th ballot in North Carolina. Catherine from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is about the student population. How many more new students are expected to be served by this bond? And do we have an expectation that that age group of students will be here in North Carolina, will grow at the same rate and be here to take the classes?
Dr. Adams?
I'm delighted to answer that because we are really lacking space. So we're just actually playing catch up with these funds. It is space that was already taken by our early college high school. So we have been unable to grow. For instance, we have a brand new medical assisting program with many students in it. And we're using a regular classroom and a restroom for the clinical. So we need this in order to really have the facilities our medical assisting program needs. The only place that would be, it would be in the early college high school building. We don't want to dislocate them. So ours is very, very pointed. So it will serve new students, certainly. But right now, as far as Brunswick Community College, we're trying to serve the students we have and the nursing potential students that we're not able to serve because we don't have the room to serve them.
Do you know how many students are in that nursing program at BCC?
Yes, we have 55 nursing students in that program, but we could house many, many more. We have also added a simulation lab, which is something like Cape Fear has done, but we have put it in a current classroom by the help of Navant Hospital, and we are pleased with this simulation lab, but it is very small, and it can only serve 10 students at a time. So what we would like to do is double that population of nurses that we're serving the nursing shortage.
And that's another point that UNCW actually makes. They say student enrollment at UNCW's College of Health and Human Services has more than doubled in recent years and has outgrown its facilities. Catherine, thank you so much for your call. We have an email from Alan who asks whether there is an anticipated state budget surplus for the current fiscal year and what the projections look like for upcoming fiscal years. Representative Catlin.
I don't have that information yet. Hopefully we will have a surplus, but we'll find out pretty soon in short session where we are. And if we do have some extra money, I am going to work to try to get our vocational pathway new building funded for New Hanover County.
And this is a project within New Hanover County on the CFCC campus.
That's right.
That would cost about $10 million to build. Is that right?
That's right. And maybe we'll split it with the county on that. But it's but it is very important because and that goes back to the number of students. Right now they've got 20% drop out and don't go to school anywhere. They don't have any jobs. But we also, by having a vocational pathway, there will be a number of students that will say, you know, I would rather go that way and get a job than go to college and make it for a couple of years and end up dropping out, or go to college and end up with a huge debt and still not be able to get a job. So I think it'll change the situation that we're in. But we're just a pilot program, and we'll see what happens, and we'll grow it from there.
We have an email. John from Wilmington writes, is any of this bond money going to institutes that pay absurd sums for athletics teams? That's for either of you, Representative Catlin or Dr. Adams.
I believe we both have athletics teams, but we cannot use state monies in any way, shape, or form to support athletics. They have to be institutional funds, and in the case of Brunswick, we do receive some county funds to support athletics, but certainly state funds cannot be used for that.
Yeah, but the money goes to the schools without really being specific at what they can use it for, so it's difficult to see how it would be done.
General statute says that we cannot use state funds to fund any athletics, and we are monitored, audited, very detailed for that.
But if these state funds saved you some money somewhere else, then you'd have more money for the athletics.
Representative Catlin, are you satisfied with the tax reform efforts of the last session? That was the top priority of the Republican majority in the state legislature. And is this in line with that kind of priority?
We made progress on tax reform. I think we need to do more. We need to be competitive with other states. That's one of the best things we can do for economic development and to be fair to our workers and our citizens. This budget is one of those other concerns that it could put us in a situation where we can't lower the taxes more and have to raise them. So we're making progress, but then this was a bit of a surprise. If it was for infrastructure, to give you an idea how long it take you to get across the Cape Fear River Bridge, we need to improve those things. We need to grow.
You're talking
those.
About the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge that
That's right.
connects Brunswick and New Hanover County.
That's right. Yes, I was talking to Dr. Adams. Excuse me.
That's why we ask them all to come south to Brunswick.
But I mean, it's a real problem. It really is a problem, and that's one of the things that businesses don't always come here. People don't come to the ports because of our roads and our rail, that they can get better in other states. So. It would grow the economy. That economic growth, if we had that infrastructure in place, would grow the amount of money we had in our budget for education, and it would be able to lower taxes. So I just think that would be the best investment, and then we could help all the community colleges every year and not just at one time, which is one of the other concerns is if this causes debt that causes tax problems in the future, you're going to have a hard time getting any more money. And we could actually create a situation where this debt will hurt you in the future.
Well, transportation, my understanding, has been budgeted in a different line item now and will actually receive $340 million in the budget each year. So infrastructure is very much on the radar of the General Assembly. It's just not in the budget. And I do regret that the name of this bond is Connect NC, because I agree with Representative Catlin that that we need infrastructure in order to bring industry here. We're locked. Our highways are locked. We can't get goods from our ports to the rest of North Carolina. And that certainly is something that we are concerned with. I know that our ports are receiving $35 million in the budget this year. So that is a great plus for the ports, and they will be expanding that way. And, of course, that will help us with industries and jobs, bringing our jobs to the area. I'm afraid that if we just budget community colleges, you're not going to ever be able to budget a $10 million STEM building for me. I'm not going to be able to get that from the state, and certainly not all 58 of us. We tried that. All of us had that as a priority. We sent in our first priorities, but the amount of the bond for community colleges would have been astronomical because there are 58 of us. So if you'd served us the same way as you did the universities, then that would have increased the bond.
We have just a minute or so left in the show. Representative Catlin, if you could just sum it up briefly why you're voting against it.
It's important that the citizens know both sides of it. And so I think we've had a great conversation. And I respect where you are, Dr. Adams. And but it's also important that we do things in a very factual way, very accurately, and that if we're going to borrow money, if we're going to put you in debt, that we need to make sure that the return on investment is fair to all citizens. And so I would like a chance to be able to fix this in the next session.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Representative Rick Catlin and BCC President Dr. Suzanne Adams. Thanks to those of you who emailed and called to join the conversation. Join us next Wednesday on Coastline for our Political Reporters Roundtable. That's Wednesday, March 9th at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Our producer is Isabel Shepherd. If you missed part of today's show, look for it on our website at whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. Line.